97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
What song this is?
I've got to tell you, I almost had a tear draw to my eye, man. That's the intro for Rush Limbaugh.
Oh! It's My City Was Gone by the Pretenders. And, you know, someone's got to use it afterwards.
Now I appreciate it much, much more.
Wow.
Welcome into Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
And, of course, my partner, Beau Matthews. And as we were starting the show, Carl said, I have a great song to start the show with. And I
Native
am
son.
Sorry that I didn't recognize that intro. Very good stuff.
Tony, though, do you have your own intro music? I mean, like, do you have specific intro music?
The R.E.M. song.
Yeah, I mean, sort of, it's just kind of been a default, de facto, it's not an official thing, but over the years of hosting the DGS, there's an R.E.M. song called The Finest Work Song that has sort of become my, that if you,
de facto
if you hear
theme.
If you hear Finest Work Song at the beginning of a Dave Glover show, it means that Dave is out and Tony is hosting. And, you know, we've used that at live. Yeah, there it is right there. Yeah, we've used this at used it at like, you know, like live events and things like that. If, you know, if I'm walking out on a stage or whatever. So that's kind of been my default.
I would think a guy like you that can sing would sing his own song.
No. No, no,
would
no.
that be weird?
Yes.
I don't know, but I'm not going to do that.
Okay, well.
Bo, do you have a
yeah, do you?
Song?
Nah, not really. You know
had
what?
There's have a, had, you have had to have had
a country
like,
song.
Big show intro packages.
I had a Country Boy Can't Survive oftentimes
yes,
kicked off a show
yeah.
called a Country Gold Saturday Night. We used to do a show when we'd go out to the bars, but we always ended it with the Merle Haggard, I Think I'll Just Stay Here and Drink, which is just got
which is it's how you ended the night.
It's a great song. Yeah, because I didn't leave, right? You know, the show was over, but I ain't done.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. Well, gentlemen.
Well, we're off and running. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Speaking of something amazing, check your guys' text messages. I tweeted.
Oh, so cute.
I tweeted one of these pictures.
Oh, no.
Also, yeah. You guys, you can see the pictures that I just sent these guys on my Twitter at TonyColombo971. I did my annual head shave a little early this year. I usually have hair in the winter and shave my head in the summer, but since we're going on vacation next week, I decided to go ahead and shave the head early and had a little fun. And yeah,
you look like you're from Whoville.
Yeah,
no,
Tony Colombo 971. If you want to see what we're talking about,
I said if you take out the beard, he looks like Larry Fine from the Three Stooges.
Yeah, I see that.
So
that's the look that did it for your wife, huh?
Yeah,
she's
right?
All about that.
Yeah, yeah, looking good.
No, his wife's like, all right, now we're leaving town.
My kids love it. They when I start doing crazy things like that, shaving my head, because I do it every year, so they are a little bit used to it. They love it. They love it.
You look a little frightened, actually. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
You also shaved your head on the coldest day of the year.
I know. Not
so. And so is this the look you're going with?
No.
No, he finished
I've
the job.
I've taken the rest off, yes.
Oh, what a wimp.
I know, I did consider coming into work one day like that, but then thought,
didn't want to give Dave a heart attack?
Well, and what if something happens, like, you know, we're a news station, and what if, like, there's the one day that I'm being goofy.
TV comes in.
Something, yeah, something important happens. So, We have a, speaking of important things, we have a lot to talk about today. We've been waiting for Joe Biden and the Democrats to start taking some action as far as the Second Amendment is concerned, things that they had talked about. Biden had promised that he would do, you know, on day one of his administration, and he didn't. So we've kind of all been waiting for these other, the other sort of shoe to drop, and it looks like that shoe is starting to drop now. A few announcements from the White House this week, so we'll discuss those issues. We're going to talk to our buddy Representative Nick Schroer at the end of the show, and Representative Schroer is also going to stick around and do the podcast exclusive with us this week. We're also going to talk to Hank Hedges. He's the general manager of the Farmers Cooperative Old Town Country Store in St. Peter's. You may have heard us talk about them in the past. A really cool store. Really great guys out there. We'll talk to them in a minute. And right now, of course, joining us on the phone, as he does every week at the beginning of the show, the owner of Southern Armory, our good friend Aaron Tarlow. Aaron, how are you, my friend?
Good. How are you guys?
Another week.
That's a lot to take in.
Yeah, another week, another week. Yeah. So, go ahead.
It was a buster. It was a buster.
Yeah. Yeah. So, as I just said, you know, throughout the presidential campaign, and you know, in interviews that Joe Biden has been giving for the last couple of years, one of his main topics has been the Second Amendment, and he has talked about what he calls common sense gun laws, and has talked about things like eliminating ARs. He's talked about banning high capacity magazines. He's talked about going after gun manufacturers in many areas, and he said that he was going to do it on day one, and then day one came, and he passed 40-something executive actions, and the Second Amendment seemed untouched, which kind of, you know, left us all kind of worried and wondering what was going on, and then this week, it looks like some of those actions have been put into place. So Biden said this week that he was considering using executive action to slow the background check system, which is already overloaded. He could use executive action to ban or limit things like the high-capacity magazines or ammo made outside the country. So all of these things are now, you know, starting to be discussed. Are they being discussed by people within the industry, Aaron? And are they being discussed by your customers at Southern Armory?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a topic of discussion. And it's important to kind of look back, because Obama had banned the importation of ammunition made outside the country as well, if it could fit into handguns, and there's a couple other stipulations that he had in there as well. So Russia was the big target on that one for the ammo and for the importation of guns too. So nothing shocking. You know, Trump did a lot for the industry, but then, you know, he did the bump stock ban as well. It was, you know, controversial, but the bump stock ban, you know, via executive order, really opened up the possibility to ban any kind of accessory. Mm-hmm. So, you know, magazines are kind of the big topic for.
And that was the argument, Aaron, right? I mean, going back to the discussions that you and I had on this show when that was happening, after the shooting, the tragedy in Vegas, and bump stocks became part of the lexicon, the national lexicon, when it comes to the gun rights and Second Amendment conversations. And it wasn't so much the banning of bump stocks, because as we've said many times, you've said many times, that bump stocks were kind of a niche novelty thing anyway. It wasn't something that people really cared about. But the idea, and this is what you and I discussed on this show and warned about, that it wasn't the banning of bump stocks, because who cares about bump stocks? It was setting the precedent of a president banning something in the gun world, and therefore making it easier for that sort of thing to happen in the future. And now maybe that is happening.
Yeah, 100%. So that was the fear, because now all of a sudden it's like, well, he doesn't like magazines. He doesn't like military grade, you know, red dots. So now your EOTech, your aim point, things like that are are going to get, you know, mixed, and right down to, like, let's say he doesn't like competition triggers. He feels that, you know, your trigger should not be 2 pounds or 3 pounds or whatever that is. It should be a 8 pound trigger, because mil-spec, and that's kind of a lot of people don't understand what mil-spec is, so you got to kind of explain it to them. But like the mil-spec trigger, the whole idea is that the weight of the gun is less than what the trigger is. So if you have a 7 pound rifle, you want an 8 pound trigger, so if it would fall and stag on something, the trigger, it couldn't get pressed by just sheer weight of the gun. I don't know if that makes sense. So it now does, you know, you can't have less than a mil-spec trigger, because you know that's military grade. So now all of a sudden you got guys with 10 and 12 and 15 pound triggers on their rifles. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you could see where this could really go. Right down to, we can't have sniper rifles with optics, you know? So now, you know, you can't have a threaded barrel on your rifle, which was a thing back during the Clinton era ban. No threaded barrels. Detachable magazines. Why do you need a detachable magazine with 10 rounds or less on your bolt action rifle? You know, they always go,
why do we need a car that can go 0 to 60 in 2 seconds? It's what right. people want. If they want that capability, let them, you know, that's them. You know, if they have an accident, true. Well, that's on them. I want to interject market. Here. I want to interject here that I thought it was interesting when Virginia Cruder was on the show just last week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, she had mentioned, well, there's been no, gun tragedy in the country in recent past. So that's why, you know, Joe Biden is not, you know, jumping on the Second Amendment. But of course, this week, it was the anniversary of the Parkland school shooting. So he didn't need another issue, another, you know, gun mass, you know, shooting. We're just going to use the anniversary. How about that? And so that kind of bothers me. But, you know, the lies that are coming out about, an epidemic of gun violence, it's not in schools, he says, but it's rather in the streets. Okay, so let's focus the law on the gangbangers and drug-infested streets, as he calls it. And ironically, it's mostly Democrat-controlled communities. So if you're going to have true gun control that's going to make a difference to the non-law-abiding citizen, well, then that's what you need to go after. You got to leave the law-abiding citizens alone. We're just doing our thing. We're spending our money. We're paying our taxes. If he really wants to make a difference, I think that's where he needs to go. But he's not going to.
And you hit something on the head there. I was at a store the other day, and I saw a Recoil magazine. And Recoil magazine had on the cover a black man with a shirt that said gun laws are racist, and I was like, that is so freaking true. Like, you really think about it, if you're going to restrict gun ownership and make it expensive, it's going to affect the people who are on the lower end of the economical scale here, the people who live in these Democrat-controlled cities, the people who really need concealed carry weapon permits and need firearms to protect themselves because of the criminal element, you know? And I was like, that is like that just really struck, you know, struck me.
But that, opposite, you know, of the message that it was trying to say.
I was just like,
I understand that exactly. Yeah, I've heard. Well, go ahead, Bo.
Okay, so they're calling this America's epidemic of gun violence. Okay, so is that the equivalent of a pandemic when it comes to the COVID-19 virus? They're just using these words to scare people, and it just bugs me because it's not an epidemic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I want to clear this up real quick. So I had mentioned that Biden made this announcement earlier this week. So Biden's words this week were, I am calling on Congress to enact common sense gun law reforms, including requiring background checks on all gun sales, banning assault weapons and high capacity magazines, and eliminating immunity for gun manufacturers who knowingly put weapons of war on our streets. And then since that announcement, it has been discussed what I mentioned earlier, that people have said that one of the things that that Biden is considering is using executive action to slow the background check system, which, as I mentioned earlier, is already overloaded, I guess as a way to slow the sale of guns, to that he can affect that. He can't, you know, stop it, but he can put hurdles in there and he can slow things down. He could use executive action, as I mentioned, to ban or limit things like the magazines that he mentioned, or ammo made outside the country. Aaron, are you hearing anything on the inside about, you know, what could be happening? And, you know, are people trying to sell high capacity magazines as quick as they can right now because they're afraid they're going to go away? Like, what's happening inside the industry as a reaction to Biden's statement this week?
So about 3 weeks ago, there was a big buy-up of high capacity magazines at all the wholesalers. And I was literally sitting online, you know, going through looking for, like, you know, few Glock mags, few Ruger mags, few Smith mags, just kind of the stuff that we needed to fill the holes of in the store. And I noticed that I added a couple of SKUs to the cart, and when I went back to complete the order, they were sold out. And I was like, hold on a minute, they just had, like, you know, 1,000 plus of these magazines. They just dried up. You know, I needed like 5 or 6. So I called my rep, and he's like, yeah, he goes, it is nuts here today. And then, of course, you know, I'm like, what's going on in this world? So I go and I look, and they had made some moves to get a bill introduced to start banning these items, which, of course, does what? It triggers the buying of all this stuff up at the wholesaler. So that's the one thing I've been noticing, is that the high-capacity magazines are starting to get bought up. So if you want them, you know, it's probably the time to get them now versus getting them later. As things kind of progress, you know, pricing is going to go up. We saw this after Sandy Hook. We saw this after Lakeland, where they immediately, the country was polarized. They introduced gun bills, and things started to dry up, like, just, I mean, like, overnight. And then you had people coming in going, hey, you know, this magazine that was $15, you know, 3 weeks ago, now you've got them on the shelf for, you know, $25 or $30. And then you'd get online and you'd look at, you know, like some of these, like clearinghouses, so mm-hmm, to speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're charging $100 for a PMAG that you could have bought locally for $13. That's now $20 or $25. They're charging four times that. And these same clearinghouses, they're doing it with ammunition right now, where it's $2 or $3 a round for 9mm. And people are complaining. And then you go into your local gun store and it's, you know, 75 cents to $1 a round or whatever it is. So it all is supply and demand. And when you're looking at this national clearinghouse, they're national. You know, they've got, you know, tens of thousands of customers trying to get that same box ammunition, that same magazine that you want. And they're turning stuff over quick, and they can demand, you know, the highest price that they want. Then when you get on these auction websites, like, you know, Gun Broker, everybody knows Gun Broker, you know, I mean, these magazines were getting bid up, you know, hundreds of people, you know, picking up the same magazine. Just absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
So, Aaron, we need to wrap this segment up and take a break. We are going to continue this discussion later on in the show with State Representative Nick Schroer, and we're also going to keep Representative Schroer over for the podcast. And, of course, we will talk more with Aaron in 1 week, as I'm sure, you know, more news will unfold in the coming days. In the meantime, Aaron, before we let you go, if people want to come out and shop at Southern Armory and make sure that they have everything they need, how do they find you?
Yep, we're 1 mile east of 270 and 44 at 9901 Watson Road. find us on Facebook at Southern Armory or Second Amendment News Podcast. And SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
And that is the great Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, thank you so much as usual, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yep. Talk to you next week. Bye.
All right, let's go ahead and take this break. As I mentioned, Nick Schroer, State Rep Schroer, is going to join us a little bit later. But when we get back, we're going to talk to Hank Hedges, the general manager of the Farmers Co-op Old Town Country Store in St. Peter's. We'll take a breath and we'll have a little fun. We'll talk about the great outdoors and a few other things when we get back to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Don't go anywhere.
I get it,
and everybody else will get it even more as we have this discussion. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Bo, nobody puts more thought into the bumper music than Carl.
I don't even get it. I don't get it. Loving an elevator.
You will in a minute. You will in a minute. Because the grain elevators are a big deal out at the Old Town Country Store. And Carl knows that. And that was an insider joke before we even
had a good song.
The discussion. And a great song. Yeah.
It is a great song, but come on. There's 1,000 songs about farmers out there. Carl, really?
Not about elevators.
Yeah. You know what? The elevators are truly a landmark when you are looking for the store. So, as I said, welcome back to the show. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman and my partner, Bo Matthews.
Yeah, buddy.
Just wrapped up a conversation with Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, talking about some of the politics of the week and the announcement by President Biden that he is now focusing his attention on some Second Amendment issues. We'll pick that conversation back up in a few minutes with State Representative Nick Schroer, who is also going to stick around for our podcast. Don't forget, we put out 2 podcasts of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors every week. We put out the show podcast on Fridays, so you can actually listen to the show before it even airs over the weekend. You can take us with you throughout your weekend. And then we put out the podcast exclusive, which is exactly that, just a deeper conversation that sometimes stays on topic and sometimes doesn't, but it's always a good time.
This week, I think it'll stay on topic.
Yeah, and the podcast exclusive we release every Monday. You can get our podcast just about anywhere you get podcasts, but I recommend the radio.com app. And here momentarily, we're going to talk to Hank Hedges. He's the general manager of the Farmers Co-op Old Town Country Store in St. Peter's, famous for their big grain elevators and a lot of things that they offer there at the Old Town Country Store will help you when you are in the great outdoors and anytime. You like that segue, Bo? You like
Sweet.
That setup? Anytime.
So smooth.
We're talking about the great outdoors here on the show. It's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They are your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. So stop in. If you've never been, you'll love the guys. Jesse, Brad, and Kenny do a fantastic job. Find them on Manchester Road. Actually, get the details and directions at RazorbackArmory.com and tell them Bo sent you when you walk in.
All right, let's go ahead and get Hank on the line. Actually, Hank, I heard you laughing as we were talking about the elevators. I got the joke immediately. I'm sure you did, too. But welcome to the show. Appreciate you being a new sponsor of the radio station and coming on with us today. How's it going?
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm an Aerosmith fan, too.
There you go. There you go. I mentioned on the Dave Glover show earlier this week that, we've talked about your store here on this show. And I've obviously talked about your show, your store on Dave's show as well. And the big thing for me and something you and I talked about when I was out there for the first time ever a few weeks ago is that a lot of people just don't realize that you're there. And I've been in St. Peter's. I've been at that Quick Trip that is, within a golf, you know, within a driver of your store and didn't realize it was there. But now that I know it's there and now that I know to look for those grain elevators, you can see your store clearly from the interstate. You can, from Highway 70, you can clearly see your store when you know to look for those big grain elevators. So before we get into, you know, any details, for people that haven't had a chance to come out there and see you and didn't even maybe realize you were there like me for so long, tell us a little bit about the Farmers Co-op Old Town Country Store.
Well, we've been here a long time, since 1916,
Way
back before Highway 70. but definitely can see us. We're down here off Main Street. We've got a little bit of everything for everybody, from hunters to gardeners to people that like a nice lawn.
Yeah, that's a fact. Just tons of great products, including something that we talked about while we were out there. You could help out Bo with some of his issues that he's having in his pond.
Oh, gosh. Here we go again. Hank, I'm going to apologize for Tony right now. I have had a problem. You don't even need to know the whole story. I have a pond. I have a pond on my property, and a lot of people do. There's a dye that you can pour into the water to make it, you know, turn like turquoise blue. Do you guys sell that product?
We do.
That is the coolest thing. Because when my landscaper guy poured it in there, I was like, what did you do? I mean, it looked like it was, you know, nuclear toxins or something. But it actually just made it more beautiful, made it more, you know, blue. But you do catfish food, things like that, for people that have small ponds or lakes they want to feed?
Yeah, all the way down to even koi food. We've got koi fish food.
Well, okay. And our preppers, I've been hankering to talk to you, Hank. I'm thinking a lot of people are starting to do the homegrown stuff, or they're getting chickens just because of the world we're living in and the unpredictability. Are you getting a lot of preppers coming into the store?
There's quite a few. We have what we call chick days, and you can order chicks, and then we will have them all here, and you can come pick them up.
Yeah,
we also have fish days where you can order the fish, and we'll have a big truck out here, and you just bring your water jug and take your fish home.
There we go. That's how we restock the pond, Bo. We go out to Hank's store and... Go ahead.
I honestly stocked it with like 300 6-inch channel cats. You know, probably 12 years ago, 13 years ago, and we had some bass in there, some, you know, just really tiny fish, because fish days are awesome, and I love them. But it was an operation, because my landscape buddy, Shane, he had a trailer with these big, you know, 300-gallon tanks on it, so it was awesome to do it that way. But if somebody's got a little pond and they want to do it, do they just bring, like, I don't know, like a tub or something out to get their fish?
Yeah, a tub full of the water from the pond that you're putting
right.
them in.
Yeah.
And or like a barrel or whatever, and pick them up and take them home.
So you guys, like we said, like a little bit of everything, really, from animal care to, as you mentioned, lawn garden stuff. What are some of the biggest products, the biggest services that you guys offer out there that are kind of the most popular things with your customers?
Well, the past few days, it's been propane.
Yeah.
We can fill up your tank up to a 100-pound tank.
Ooh.
Or we do home delivery of home heat propane.
And it's not an exchange situation. You guys will just actually fill a person's existing propane tank, which actually will save them a bunch of money if they do it that way, right?
Yes, we fill it while you wait.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Can we go back to the chickens?
Yeah, we can go back to the chickens.
Is it hard to raise chickens? My wife, I mean, she would love
Hank
to have
sells
them.
Sells chickens. He doesn't raise chickens.
Well, but he's got to have advice. Come on, he's got to have advice. Okay, I'm going to learn everything I need to know on YouTube. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate that.
I'm joking. I don't even know. Hank may have chickens. I don't know.
I'll be starting that, too. So
yeah,
good idea.
There you go. Yeah.
But,
go ahead, Hank.
No, it's not hard.
Yeah, just keep them fed.
And penned in well, because where I'm at, there's coyotes and such that like chickens, too.
Yeah. We just saw a coyote on our property the other day on our game cam. I was like, and our cat had just come in like 2 minutes before. I'm like, oh, you could have been dinner, buddy. Just saying.
Right. Right.
So tell us
the raccoons. Yeah,
Hank, tell us the story behind the famous elevators there that, like I said, are basically what I would recommend people use as your landmark if you're coming out to visit the store. You know, you can't miss it when you know to look for those big white grain elevators. But tell us the story behind those and some of the, you know, the things that you guys do with those.
Well, all the farmers in the area got together way back, 1916, decided to pool their resources and build an elevator so they could put their grain here. It's right beside the railroad tracks, so that there used to be grain loading on the rail cars, and then we would also offload coal from coal cars because that was what the heat was back then.
Wow.
So it's come a long way since. We still store grain. We still have farmers that sell grain and buy other things here.
Yeah, and that's incredible that something that was set up over 100 years ago,
105 years ago,
is still being used, for basically, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, for its original purpose. And it's still something that we're doing today. And there's not very many things that you could say that about, that we're still doing something the same way that we did 100 years ago.
Right. It's just a little faster now.
Right.
It used to be horse and carts rolling in here to dump grain.
Wow.
And now it's semis.
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible. So,
Hank, how big of an operation do you have out there? How many square foot is the building, and how many employees do you have on site?
It's not much bigger, about 18,000 square foot building.
Okay.
That's all.
It's not that big.
And, we got 10 employees and some seasonal.
And that's fantastic.
So if people want to, if they want to see the products that you guys offer, if they want to come out and visit you in person, what are all the best ways to you know, explain to somebody how to find you, you know, both physically and online?
Physically, 72 Mid Rivers. Get off of Mid Rivers Mall, come north toward the QT, and then come past QT down toward Main Street in the Old Town St. Peter's, and we're down here on the right across from Hobo's, and that's the restaurant. And online, we're at oldtowncountrystore.com.
Bo, you and I need to go eat at Hobo's and then go shopping at the Old Town Country Store.
I'm in. I'm just excited to see it because I love the farm store environment. And the 10 employees that you have, Hank, are these guys like true farm, you know, or did they grow up farm kids, or are they just trained by you?
No, they grew up farm kids.
Dang right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a special
yeah.
kind of breed
yeah,
right
no,
there.
You're definitely talking to the experts in all these different areas when you go out there and you talk to Hank and his team. And like Hank said, 70 at Mid Rivers Mall Drive, just go right past the QT there. And seriously, look for those grain elevators. You can't miss them on 2nd Street. You can see them clearly even from the highway. And that's the back of the store. So you see the grain elevators and you're home. You got it.
I bet all them employees showed up during the bad weather, too, because they ain't scared. That's why.
That's right. Because they got four-wheel drive trucks. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
That is Hank Hedges from the Farmers Co-op Old Town Country Store in St. Peter's. Hank, great talking with you, buddy. We'll have you back on again real soon. Again, thanks for everything you do here for us at the station. And have a great rest of your week.
All right, you too, guys. Look forward to seeing you.
Absolutely.
See you, Hank.
All right, let's go ahead and take another quick break and talk to State Rep Nick Schroer when we get back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
Old Chad, new Chad. I messed it up.
It's all right.
First time we hadn't done new Chad all show yet. and I messed it up and called him Old Chad. And, of course, Bo Matthews, who wouldn't have messed that up. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Again, one more segment to go here on the show. Momentarily, we will talk to Newsmaker Nick, State Rep Nick Schroer, going to join us for the rest of the show and then also stick around for the podcast exclusive. So make sure you are downloading both podcasts of the show every week. The show podcast goes out on Fridays. The podcast exclusive goes out on Mondays. You can get the Second Amendment Radio podcast anywhere you get podcasts, but I recommend the radio.com app because it's free and you can stream the station and you can rewind live radio and you can get the podcast right there. As we mentioned earlier in the show, well, first I want to say a big thank you to Hank Hedges from the Old Town Country Store Farmers Co-op in St. Peter's for joining us in that last segment. And then earlier in the show, we had a chance to talk to Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory, as there has been some action. We've been waiting for President Biden to talk about the things that he is going to do regarding the Second Amendment. And this week, he finally gave some indication to that. So we're going to talk to Nick Schroer about that and also some of the things that they are working on in Missouri to maybe protect the state from any federal gun laws that may be coming our way. So, Nick, always great to talk with you, buddy. We got him on the line.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So appreciate you being on with us this week and obviously sticking around for the podcast. Would recommend everybody make sure you download that so we can continue this conversation over there. But we'll get into the details in the podcast. We mentioned earlier, you know, the president did indicate that he is looking at, you know, doing some things when it comes to the Second Amendment, whether it be banning high capacity magazines or outlawing ARs. Here in the state of Missouri, we're trying to protect Missourians from maybe those things with the Second Amendment Protection Act. What's the situation with that bill?
Well, number one, thanks for having me on again. As we speak, the Second Amendment Preservation Act is in the possession of the Senate. They've got this thing. They can bring it up at any time. If I was a betting man, I would say probably count on it more towards April when we would see some action on that. That's going to be a hot and heavy one in the Senate. And I can guarantee you it's going to be a debate that's going to go on many hours through the night. So I think that they're kind of waiting to tackle the House bills that are in their possession. But I think that should be one of the first ones that they do take up. Now, a lot of things have changed in this past week. We've seen Sheila Jackson Lee in Congress sponsoring H.R. 127. It is a horrible infringement upon our rights. But when we listen to what Joe Biden has indicated, what he's willing to do and willing to sign, this is a piece of legislation in Congress that he might be able to sign if they shove it through with the tie-breaking vote of the Vice President Kamala Harris in the Senate. And what this would do, basically, if you've ever been diagnosed as depressed, you can't have a firearm. You'd have to get a license and pay for insurance to the government to own a weapon. There are people that would look into your history to see if they believe that you have an issue with alcoholism. So many things wrong with this bill. If this was a normal session, this isn't getting to the president's desk. Rather, here in the state of Missouri, something like that's not even going to get a hearing because it is an unconstitutional infringement. But this is just terrible. And this is why the SAPA, the Second Amendment Preservation Act, which would just say, look, the feds, they can pass whatever they want, but they are not going to use state resources in trying to infringe upon your rights, come door to door, which H.R. 127 says you have, I think it's 48 days to report all of your firearms that you have in your possession. Per SAPA, per the Second Amendment Preservation Act, we are not going to use state officers to come in and confiscate these guns, magazines, accessories, in an unconstitutional fashion, putting their lives and safety at risk. If the feds want to do it, they can do it on their own dime.
I love the state of Missouri. Nick, hey, it's Bo. Hey, you know, you mentioned Kamala Harris, and, you know, it's amazing because they talked in the campaign about, oh, we got to listen to the science. We got to talk to the scientists about COVID. You know, that's basically research that science provides, right, or the scientists provide. Why don't they look at the statistics? Because California, and like Illinois across the river, has the most restrictive laws in the nation when it comes to guns. And all these laws have not reduced crime. It has just made citizens more vulnerable.
You know what? I want to take that point, and we've got to wrap up the show. I want to get Nick's.
Crap.
I know, but I want to get Nick's answer to that when we talk to him in the podcast exclusive. But, Bo, you make a great point.
What
and
a teaser.
I want to talk more about this because you talk about the science, you talk about the stats. A poll came out this week that showed that it's down to 57% of Americans that support what it's very unspecific. It's support gun something gun reform. That number keeps dropping, and it's down to 57%, which I think is an all-time low. And I think the president and the Democrats realize that they need to strike now before that gets under 50%. So we'll continue this conversation with State Rep. Nick Schroer on the podcast exclusive. For Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Into the arms of America.
Get more at 971talk.com.
To Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
Old Chad, new Chad. I messed it up.
It's all right.
First time we hadn't done new Chad all show yet, and I messed it up and called him old Chad. And of course, Bo Matthews, who wouldn't have messed that up. Thank you so much for joining us this week again. One more segment to go here on the show. Momentarily, we will talk to Newsmaker Nick. State Rep. Nick Schroer going to join us for the rest of the show and then also stick around for the podcast exclusive. So make sure you are downloading both podcasts of the show every week. The show podcast goes out on Fridays. The podcast exclusive goes out on Mondays. You can get the Second Amendment Radio podcast anywhere you get podcasts, but I recommend the radio.com app because it's free and you can stream the station and you can rewind live radio and you can get the podcast right there. As we mentioned earlier in the show, well, first I want to say a big thank you to Hank Hedges from the Old Town Country Store Farmers Co-op in St. Peter's for joining us in that last segment. And then earlier in the show, we had a chance to talk to Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory, as there has been some action. We've been waiting for President Biden to talk about the things that he is going to do regarding the Second Amendment. And this week, he finally gave some indication to that. So we're going to talk to Nick Schroer about that and also some of the things that they are working on in Missouri to maybe protect the state from any federal gun laws that may be coming our way. So, Nick, always great to talk with you, buddy. We got him on the line?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So appreciate you being on with us this week and obviously sticking around for the podcast. Would recommend everybody make sure you download that so we can continue this conversation over there. But we'll get into the details in the podcast. We mentioned earlier, you know, the president did indicate that he is looking at, you know, doing some things when it comes to the Second Amendment, whether it be banning high capacity magazines or outlawing ARs. Here in the state of Missouri, we're trying to protect Missourians from maybe those things with the Second Amendment Protection Act. What's the situation with that bill?
Well, number one, thanks for having me on again. As we speak, the Second Amendment Preservation Act is in the possession of the Senate. They've got this thing. They can bring it up at any time. If I was a betting man, I would say probably count on it more towards April when we would see some action on that. That's going to be a hot and heavy one in the Senate. And I can guarantee you it's going to be a debate that's going to go on many hours through the night. So I think that they're kind of waiting to tackle the House bills that are in their possession. But I think that should be one of the first ones that they do take up. Now, a lot of things have changed in this past week. We've seen Sheila Jackson Lee in Congress sponsoring H.R. 127. It is a horrible infringement upon our rights. But when we listen to what Joe Biden has indicated, what he's willing to do and willing to sign, this is a piece of legislation in Congress that he might be able to sign if they shove it through with the tie-breaking vote of the Vice President Kamala Harris in the Senate. And what this would do, basically, if you've ever been diagnosed as depressed, you can't have a firearm. You'd have to get a license and pay for insurance to the government to own a weapon. There are people that would look into your history to see if they believe that you have an issue with alcoholism. So many things wrong with this bill. If this was a normal session, this isn't getting to the president's desk, rather. Here in the state of Missouri, something like that's not even going to get a hearing because it is an unconstitutional infringement. But this is just terrible. And this is why the SAPA, the Second Amendment Preservation Act, which would just say, look, the feds, they can pass whatever they want, but they're not going to use state resources in trying to infringe upon your rights, come door to door, which H.R. 127 says you have, I think it's 48 days to report all of your firearms that you have in your possession. Per SAPA, per the Second Amendment Preservation Act, we are not going to use state officers to come in and confiscate these guns, magazines, accessories, in an unconstitutional fashion, putting their lives and safety at risk. If the feds want to do it, they can do it on their own dime.
I love the state of Missouri. Nick, hey, it's Bo. Hey, you know, you mentioned Kamala Harris, and, you know, it's amazing because they talked in the campaign about, oh, we got to listen to the science. We got to talk to the scientists about COVID. You know, that's basically research that science provides, right, or the scientists provide. Why don't they look at the statistics? Because California, and like Illinois across the river, has the most restrictive laws in the nation when it comes to guns. And all these laws have not reduced crime. It has just made citizens more vulnerable.
You know what? I want to take that point, and we've got to wrap up the show. I want to get Nick's.
Crap.
I know, but I want to get Nick's answer to that when we talk to him in the podcast exclusive. But, Bo, you make a great point.
What
and
a teaser.
I want to talk more about this because you talk about the science, you talk about the stats. A poll came out this week that showed that it's down to 57% of Americans that support what it's very unspecific. It's support gun something gun reform. That number keeps dropping, and it's down to 57%, which I think is an all-time low. And I think the president and the Democrats realize that they need to strike now before that gets under 50%. So we'll continue this conversation with State Rep Nick Schroer on the podcast exclusive. For Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Into the arms of America.
Get more at 971talk.com.